Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is a pre-show announcement. The following episode was pre-recorded at the end of September. It's literally a month old, and you're just now hearing it. That's what I do. So it's a special Halloween episode. By the way, happy Halloween and happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. I tell some more ghost stories in it, and most are new, but I do talk a lot about my dad's place being haunted, and I did that in the last episode, forgetting that I had done it for this episode because it was a month ago, and so that's why you're going to hear that as well, but there are some new details in that I didn't share in the last episode, so it's still a little fresh. Anyway, just wanted to let you know. Happy Halloween, everybody. On the phone with Matt right now. I am Matt and I'm on my phone, which brings me to a good point. If you want to start a podcast, that's all you need. Grab yourself a phone and record yourself. That's it. I'm sitting in my car right now using free Wi-Fi at a hotel. And I'm going to share with you some more very uninteresting things of my life. So buckle up. This is a Halloween, special Halloween episode. Happy Halloween, everybody. My favorite month of the year. My favorite holiday of the year. Yeah, I love it, man. This is the best time ever. I remember as a kid, I loved Halloween probably more than any other holiday, even Christmas. Although as a kid, I did love Christmas because, you know, my family got together and I got to see my cousins and we got to play. And that was always fun. And I always liked the cold weather. I've always loved winter. But Halloween, man, get to dress up. What? I got to be Spider-Man one year. Oh, my God. That was before Tobey Maguire. You know what I mean? That was back in the day when, hell, I think we had a Spider-Man cartoon maybe, and that was it. And I think there was a Spider-Man TV show back then. Actually, it probably would have been before I was born, maybe. I was born in 79. It might have been right around that time. It could have been in syndication when I was a kid. Yeah, look it up. I can't remember if it was good or not, but some dude was Spider-Man, and, you know, it had very, very, very basic special effects. But it was good enough to keep my attention, I guess. That's what I grew up with. Not all these fancy movies with their effects. Five different Spider-Men in 3 years. 10 different Batmans in 1 year. Okay, so Halloween. Yeah, I would like to know what your favorite Halloween moment is or was or ever will be. You can, I don't know. How can you? If you go to anchor.fm where I do my show, there is a button there, a link, where you can send me like a voicemail and I'll get it and I can play it on the show. Or I can, respond, whatever. I'll try my best to do that. If you try your least best to do it. So I think for Halloween, I'm going to change things up a little bit. I'm not going to complain or bitch about anything. What I'm going to do is share with you some creepy stories about my life. I'm actually very much into the paranormal. And if you know me better than just from here, then you'll know that I do actually have a website, a blog, where I keep all of the paranormal stuff that's ever happened to me and the stuff that's been told to me from others. I try to share their stories. And there's quite a bit on there because I've lived in some pretty haunted places. And if you're a skeptic, I really don't have time for your closed mind. I just heard somebody talking about that the other day. I can't remember. I think it was Joe Rogan, maybe, on his experience that, you know, skeptics typically will, they have their mind set. They're not willing to look at any evidence or have an open mind about things. They have their mind set on there not absolutely being anything paranormal. And, you know, I've met some skeptics that, oh my God, they come up with the craziest crap to explain away the paranormal that's like harder to believe than paranormal. It's harder to believe than the stuff they're explaining away. Absolutely crazy. I had one kid I worked with at a pizza place once tell me that he had several crazy theories. But the one I remembered was people see ghosts because they're hallucinating from the stuff in our tap water. Yeah. People drink tap water and they hallucinate ghosts. The fluoride. Yeah. That's what made people hallucinate ghosts in tap water. Unbelievable. So, I'll share a couple of stories. Oh, that blog that I keep my stories on is cincinnatighosts.wordpress.com. If you're interested in reading some more creepy stories. Okay. This is one of my favorite stories. I've shared a couple of stories on Reddit, and I've had quite a few bloggers and YouTubers and podcasters like share my stories on their stuff, on their media. Excuse me. So this is one that got shared. A lot of people loved it, and it's one of my favorites. Because it was just so, not really like questionable. It was pretty cut and dry. When I was 20, a friend of mine, her name's Tammy, she decided that she wanted to move out of her parents' place. Now, at the time I was living with my grandmother, and she needed a roommate, and my girlfriend at the time, who was also friends with Tammy, they were like best friends, and I was, Tammy and I are like brother and sister, we're like siblings. So Tammy said to my girlfriend, I need a roommate, and my girlfriend said, well, why not Matt? You two can stand each other and you're friends and you know each other well. So, we did, we talked about it and we got an apartment, a nice one too. That was that. We moved in, had a good time first couple weeks, but then she got homesick. That was her first time away from home. And, so she moved back home with her parents for like 3 months. And, I'm almost positive that we moved in October. So, woo. So, while I was there alone, I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, I'm kind of a loner anyway, so, but I still missed her. And I'm not sure how long I was there by myself before things started to happen, but I had a routine every night that I would go to bed, and I always slept with my door closed. That was just out of old habit. And another old habit that I still have is I would turn off all the lights if I had any on to begin with. And I would shut my bedroom door. So one night I laid down and I would always go to the bathroom, do my thing, brush my teeth, shut that light off. And I would walk right across the hall to my bedroom. The doors were aligned perfectly. And I would shut that door and I would go to bed. And I always lay on my right side. So I was facing my bedroom door. And I think the first thing that happened was I don't know if I had an itch or something, but I opened my eyes and I could see light under my bedroom door. And I was kind of confused. And then I thought, well, maybe Tammy came home. And I was excited. So I got up and I went out into the apartment and the dining room light was on. The switch for it was on the wall next to the front door. And Tammy wasn't there. Door was still locked. I looked in her bedroom. I looked all over the apartment. She wasn't there. I hadn't even heard her come in, which I would have, unless she was being super sneaky, which wasn't really her, you know, objective ever. So, having grown up in a haunted house, I kind of already knew, but I was still creeped out a little bit. You know, I am okay with the paranormal. I currently live in a haunted house. I don't mind living in haunted houses. I kind of get excited when things like that happen, even though it still creeps me out a little bit. Maybe I'm addicted to that feeling of being creeped out. But it creeped me out. I turned the light off and I went to bed. That happened a few more times over the next 3 months. If it wasn't the dining room light, it would be the bathroom light, which I know I turned off. You know, there's always that little bit of self-doubt when something paranormal happens like that with the dining room light. I absolutely 100% thought at first, maybe I didn't turn it off. But I know I did because that's my habit. I do that all the time. And I remember walking down the hallway towards the bathroom in the dark. But there is that little skeptic side of me that tries to find the logical explanation first, always. So I kind of just wrote it off as that. But in the back of my mind, I knew. So, along with the lights, one night I laid down, closed my eyes, and I was just about to fall asleep when someone or something knocked on my bedroom door 3 times. That was a window, by the way, not a door. But it was like that. It wasn't slow. It was fast and it was loud. It was definitely my door. Woke me up. I shot up out of bed, opened the door really quick, thinking that's got to be Tammy. Nope. Still wasn't her. And I thought maybe I dreamt it. I was about to fall asleep. But then it happened two or three times again later on different nights, and I was wide awake when those happened. And these were mixed in with the lights coming on by themselves. Yeah. So while this is going on, we get to, it was like the week before Christmas. Tammy and I wanted to go gift shopping. So we went out, had a nice day out. We went to the mall, did some shopping. We went and had lunch at Don Pablo's. Do you remember that place? I don't know if they're still around. Nice Mexican restaurant. They were really good. But all the ones around here have closed. And it sucks, really. Because now we're stuck with, you know, Taco Bell. So we went back to the apartment to wrap our gifts. And now, I am a guitar player, or I was back then. I actually haven't played in quite a while because my hands are kind of shot. Carpal tunnel sucks. And I had an acoustic guitar back then, and I left it out all the time. I would lean it up against a wall in my bedroom, and I had a pick that I kept stuck between the three strings, the three lowest strings. If you know music or guitars, it was the low E string and the adjacent two strings. I would stick my pick between those for safekeeping. So, we got done wrapping our gifts, and we were about to head out. I was going to take her back to her parents' place. We were standing by the front door, checking our pockets, making sure we had everything we needed. Neither one of us were talking. It was quiet. We had, there was no, you know, nothing on. TV wasn't on. No radio on. It was quiet. Completely silent. And we both at the same time heard my guitar in my bedroom, which the door was open. The guitar plucked. Every string was picked with the pick. Bing, 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 bing. And then the guitar slid off the wall and thudded on the floor. We just looked at each other and a chill ran up and down my back. I'm sure it happened to her too. And I went down the hall to my room and looked, and the guitar was laying on the floor where it had fallen. And the pick was still stuck between those three strings. So the pick had to have been removed for those strings to be picked. To be plucked. And then replaced. Yeah. that was fun. That was probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, paranormal experiences ever. The guitar. Because I had a witness, and there's just no explanation for it at all. Yeah, the furnace kicked on, and the suction from the vent pulled the pick out and made it pick each string individually and then put the pick back and knock the guitar over. That's what happened. Sure. So, Christmas came, and me and her and some other friends got together at the apartment. for Christmas Steve. That was something that my one friend Jessica and another friend John came up with. It was the Eve of Christmas Eve. And that's when the friends got together and exchanged gifts and had a little party. I had sprained my ankle somehow. I was on the mend. I was sitting in my chair in the living room, and we were going to watch something on the VCR. Remember those? Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but I had the TV on, I had the VCR on, and I had the tape brought up to the beginning of whatever we were going to watch, and I had it paused. Because John and Jessica were making, I think my girlfriend at the time was there too. They were making like dip and other snacks for us to munch on, getting things ready for the party. And the VCR shut off. I had the remote. And it had done that one other time while there after that. And it had never done that before or after. It had never shut off like that. When I lived with my mom originally, when I lived with my dad, when I lived with my grandmother, I'd had that VCR a while. Sure, it could have been mechanical failure, I guess. Just a freak accident. I can write it off as that. But then the last thing that really happened was it involved my guitar again. Well, actually, it didn't. So for Christmas, my girlfriend got me the tablature book for Pink Floyd's The Wall. It's a thick book because it's a, you know, it's like a double album. And I was excited. I was learning to play a bunch of the songs in it. And what I would do is I would sit on the floor and open the book and I would learn a song. And this particular night, it could have been, hell, it could have been the week after Christmas, the week after New Year's. I don't know. I can't remember. I was learning to play a song, and I can't remember what song it was, but I know where it was in the book. Because when I got done, I was ready for bed. I put the pick back between the strings and leaned the guitar up against the wall. And I left the tablature book open for whatever reason. I usually closed it, but I guess I figured instead of searching for my spot the next day, I would just leave it open. It would be there waiting for me. So I got ready for bed and, you know, all the lights were off. Went in my bedroom, shut the door, laid down. Just after I laid down, I heard the pages in the book flipping on their own. And I laid there, not breathing, holding my breath, listening intently at this flipping its own pages. And when it stopped, I waited a good solid minute before I finally decided to get up and check. Because in the dark, I could see that the book was still open. We had a parking lot light, like a street light, right outside my bedroom window. So my room was illuminated a little bit. I could just make out the book on the floor. I got out of bed and walked over to the book and looked, and it stopped on the song, Hey You. Yeah, that was one of the biggest chills I ever got. And I shut the book, and I said, I'm trying to sleep, leave me alone. and I went to bed and I didn't sleep. The next day I looked in the book and I found where I was because I wanted to see, I wanted to check my theory. I went to the book and I found my spot where I had left off and left the book open. And my theory was that the weight of the pages that were open caused them to, you know, flip on their own. That's logical, yeah? Where Hey You was in the book from where I was the other way. So, yeah, it wasn't the weight of the pages. It was stopped on Hey You intentionally. So from then on, I named the ghost Pink, and anytime something would happen, I would say, "Hey, Pink," and whatever was happening would stop. I don't think the ghost liked being called Pink. I could have went with Floyd, but no. Or Roger or David. They're two members of Pink Floyd, by the way, if you didn't know. I'm not all sure, like, what happened after that. But I know one night I was out with Jessica, the one who created Christmas Steve. We had gone out driving around. That's something we did back in the day. We would drive all night. And not just us, like, you know, me and pretty much all my friends. That was just something fun to do. And that's because gas didn't cost $3 a gallon, $4 a gallon. It was like $1.05, maybe, $1.20 a gallon. I don't know. So Jessica and I went driving around that night, and we got back. She brought me back to my apartment about 3, 4 in the morning. And I opened the door to go into my apartment, and I stepped in, and I could feel the presence of the ghost. And I kind of took my breath away, but I said, "Hi, Pink," and I could feel the presence leave the apartment. And that made me laugh, which was good, and I was able to go to sleep. So that was the apartment. Yeah, that was Pink the ghost. Tammy eventually moved back after 3 months. And nothing really happened after she moved back that I can remember. Other than she was a sleepwalker. And I discovered that the hard way. Yeah. Okay, so that was that story, and I think I got time for one more. Yeah, are you creeped out? Are you shivering in your boots, shaking in your boots? Let me take a drink. Let's see. The last place I lived with my dad, out in the country, it's kind of haunted, and we're not really sure why. It seems like the property is haunted, which is possible, I guess. I mean, I don't know what was there before. I do know that there were I think Shakers and Quakers and candlestick makers. So it's possible, you know, that things happen there. I think I mentioned before that the property, maybe not, the property used to be a pay lake and campground. So years ago, when the old man who owned the place and ran it as a pay lake and campground, he closed the property. He closed the business part, when he retired. This was probably 10 or 11 years ago. My dad had his own little place. So he lived there in a little camper. And his place was right on the lake. So he had a nice little place, man. Picnic table that was covered with an awning. And he could sit there in all kinds of weather and read. He loves to read. Or he could fish, whatever he was feeling. And what's kind of cool about the place is you can hear a car coming down the driveway. It's probably a quarter mile long, and it's gravel, and it's unmistakable. And, you know, he had that place for a long time, including while it was open. And you could hear, you know, people coming down the driveway. It was a sound you got familiar with there. And there was really nothing around. There is a neighboring house on either side of the property, but it's a long walk if you were to walk from one to the other. And if you were to come from the one property that's actually on that overall property, you have to walk through the woods and around the lake to get to my dad. So he was sitting on the picnic table, reading or something one night. And there was one of those little fishing shanties or lean-tos or whatever that you could get under if it started raining while you were fishing. They're usually the sides, back, and top were made of tin. So they were really loud when it rained. He was reading, and some guy walked around that. Scared the hell out of my dad. And he introduced himself. He didn't say his name. And he was talking to my dad, kind of like, you know, people who are fishing talk to one another. And he asked about the old man who owned the place. How's he doing? I haven't seen him in a long time. My dad said, him and his wife are fine. They're up there if you want to go up there and talk to them. The guy said, "Nah, it's okay. I'm in a hurry, but thanks. I'll see you around. Have a good night." And he turned around and walked back the way he came from around the that little shelter, and he was gone. My dad sat there and waited. He didn't hear a car door. He didn't hear a car start. He had never heard a car come down the driveway. No car left. He got up and walked around the shelter there, and there was nobody around. And if the guy had gone that way, then he had to have come from the house on the other side of the woods that was on the property. The man who owned the property, it's 62 acres. Half of it is cornfield, and in that half, there's the farmhouse. And then the other half is the Pay Lake campground area. And that's where he lived, right next to the bait shop in a trailer, which is currently where my dad lives and where my wife and I lived for 3 years with him. So my dad went to the man who owns the property and he told him about this guy. And the old man, he could remember people. He was real good for remembering people, especially regulars. And neither him or his wife could remember this guy, just based off description. Well, a while later, my dad was sitting there at the picnic table at night reading. Nobody was at the lake again, except him and the owner and his wife. They were in their home. Dad was at his little camper. And this guy walked around the shelter again. Scared my dad again. And again, they talked for a while. He asked about the old man and his wife, and Dad told him. they're up there at the trailer if you want to go say hi. And again, he said he was in a hurry and he said goodbye and turned around and walked off. That time, my dad jumped up from the picnic table and walked around the shelter. And yeah, the guy was not there. There was nobody there. And then the amount of time it would have taken my dad to walk around there, there's nowhere for him to have gone. There is a street light there that was, see where my dad's place was basically the parking lot of the lake. It was a big gravel area. It was right behind my dad's place, right behind it. And there was a street light there lighting up the parking lot. So that whole area was illuminated. And that guy was not there. Yeah. I know. Creepy. So, since we've moved in, a lot of things have happened. Each one of us has seen a black mist cloud thing move through the trailer. My dad has seen it a whole bunch. My wife has seen it a few times. One time she woke up and looked up and it was above her and it soaked up into the ceiling. I've seen it once or twice for sure. But my dad said one time her and I were gone and, he has seen it several times where he sits in his chair in the living room. He's looking right down the hallway and right at our bedroom door at the end of the hallway. And down that hall is the bathroom and our room. There's like, you know, the water heater and a place for a washer and dryer. But all of that is off of the kitchen dining room area. And he has seen this mass, this cloud, black cloud, float through the kitchen before from side to side and disappear through a wall. Sometimes he said it comes out of the bathroom and moves up and down the hallway. One time he said during the day, it was like noon. It was a sunny day. The whole trailer was lit up from the sun coming through the windows. Our bedroom door was open. He could see into our bedroom because of the sun. He said this thing materialized in the kitchen, moved across the kitchen, went down the hall to our bedroom, and he said the bedroom went dark, like it was the middle of the night. And he got up and left. Yeah, we all hear voices all the time. My wife and I hang out in our bedroom most of the time, and all of the time I will hear my dad call my name from the hallway right outside my door. The first three or four times I'd answer him, "Yeah, what do you want?" And I'd get no response, so I'd get up and go out there, and he'd be in his chair sleeping with the TV on. And if I would have heard him from his chair, he would have had to have yelled my name. And it was not yelled when I heard it. It was just, "Matt," just like that. And my wife hadn't heard it. Only I did. I've heard my name called, it just happened the other day, several dozen times. And the same thing happens to my wife. She'll hear her name called by my dad from the other side of the bedroom door in the hall. See, we leave our bedroom door cracked open a little bit so the cat can move freely in and out. And, yeah, it's not like it was muffled because the door was shut. And I didn't hear her name called when it was called, sitting right next to her. Several times I've been in the living room and my wife has been in the bedroom and I would hear her call for me loudly, "Baby." And I'd yell, "What?" Get no response. Go down the hall. She'd be sleeping. Or she'd be wide awake and say, I didn't call for you. One time my dad was outside and nobody was in the trailer at all. And he heard somebody yell. I can't remember what he heard. He said somebody yelled, who is it? I think it was that. Who is it? So he went into the trailer real quick thinking somebody broke in. And he checked. Nobody was in there. He said whoever it was he said it was a voice he didn't recognize, but he thought it was me because it was a man's voice. And when that happened, he left. Yeah, man. Things go missing all the time. Sometimes they turn up in odd spaces, but most of the time we just lose them. I can't tell you how many movies I've lost, DVDs in their cases. There's only two places I keep movies, or I did. And they would just be gone. I would go to get one to watch, and, you know, these are movies that I knew I had. And just gone. My dad's been missing things. Books. We have a lot of books between the three of us. We all like to read. Documents. I had to order a birth certificate. I had to send off for it. Paid like $25. It came in a big manila envelope. It's gone. There's only one place I ever set it down. And that's the same. It's a little end table on the side of the couch where I usually sit. It's got all my stuff on it. I had to go get my Indiana's driver's license when I moved in. And I went to the BMV and got a book to study Indiana driving laws because they are different than Ohio's. And I took it home, set it down on that end table, and the next day it was gone. I still haven't found it. I mean, we're out. Gone. My dad swears that when he bought himself a minivan because his pickup was old, beat up, and pretty much dead. It was on life support. He had to get a title for it mailed to him, and he swears he got it, but he couldn't find it. And there's only one place he would have put it. So he had to go get another one. And he actually talked himself into believing that maybe I didn't get it the first time. I mean, it is possible. He's old. His memory's not that good. But when it originally happened, he was positive that he had had it. So, I don't know. Things, like I said, they move. The TV remote pops up in the weirdest places. One time in particular, my dad, he went to turn the TV on, couldn't find the remote. So, he got up and turned the TV on at the TV, and he decided to make something for lunch. He had some frozen chicken, breaded chicken. So he went and turned the oven on and got the chicken out of the freezer. And then he remembered that the baking tray was still in the oven. So he opened the oven to get the baking tray out, and the remote was on the baking tray in the middle of the oven. Now, who in the hell would put the remote in the oven? And before my wife and I moved in, we went out there to visit them for the evening, watch some TV, drink a beer, and talk about moving in. And he had bought a 6-pack of beer in bottles in one of those little cardboard carriers. and it was in the fridge. So he said, you know, if you want a beer, go get one. Well, it took a while, but I finally decided I'd have one. So I got up, went into the kitchen, opened the fridge. I reached in and I grabbed a bottle of beer and I pulled it out of the six pack, out of the box. I didn't even touch the box. Shut the door, the fridge door, went back to the couch. And like I said, where my dad sits, he's looking into the kitchen. There's nothing obstructing his view of him, from him to the refrigerator. So about a half an hour went by. And he goes, well, maybe I'll have a beer too. He got up, went into the kitchen. And he yells, you could have put the beer away. I said, what? He said, you could have put the beer away. It's just sitting here on the counter next to the fridge. I said, I didn't take the beer out of the fridge. He said, then how did it get on the counter? I said, I don't know. It wasn't me. He never saw the refrigerator open. It was dark in the trailer except for the TV. But the refrigerator never opened or shut between me getting a beer and him going in for one. But the five beers in the cardboard container that were in the fridge were suddenly on the counter. How does that happen? How does that happen? I don't know. I do know that after that happened, he told us that on the counter there next to the fridge, behind where he found the beer, is a knife block. Is that what it's called? One of them wood blocks with the knives, a knife set, a kitchen knife set stuck in it. Yeah, the owner of the lake, him and his wife, it was theirs. They had it for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, probably. It's probably still sitting there. But Dad said one day he went in there and noticed it was gone. And when the owners died, their daughter took over the property. And at the time, her and her husband were living in that farmhouse next door in front of the cornfield. And they were moving to Florida, so they were selling off a lot of stuff, and they were taking things that they wanted. And Dad just thought that maybe she had come in, since she had a key to the place, and he almost never locks the door anyway. No real reason to, living in the country. And she took it until he asked her and she said no. And a short while later, there it was, right where it had always been. And lastly, I just remember this along the same lines. Many years ago, my dad, it was probably, 20 years ago now. Maybe 15. My dad was dating this woman. She was like 100% indigenous. She was beautiful. And she was very much into the culture. She embraced it, which is, you know, awesome. And they lived in Florida. And she ran a KOA campground. So they lived at the campground there. And they went to powwows all the time. And at one of them, she found a handmade wristwatch with, I can't remember the stones, but they're like, you know, they're like collector stones or whatever. I'm not really into rocks that way. But it was real pretty. I remember when she gave it to him and they came back up here for the winter or for the summer. And I saw it. It was real nice. And he doesn't wear watches, but he had this conversion van that he traveled in. And so he would leave the watch on the shifter and he would use it to check the time. It was handmade by, an indigenous person, and he cherished it. He loved it. Well, they broke up and she stayed in Florida. He came back to Indiana to the Pay Lake there, lived in his little camper. And he had that watch in his van for like a year. Actually, no, I'm sorry. He had it for a while, I guess, but it disappeared one day. And he thought somebody stole it. He was really upset by that. He tore his van apart, thinking maybe it just fell off while he was driving. He didn't realize it. It slid under a seat or something. Tore the van apart. Could not find it. So he gave up, resigned to the fact that maybe, somebody stole it. And it was a year later that he got into his van and there it was, hanging from the shifter, like it had been there the whole time. Yeah, the place is weird. Totally weird. And he told us that when he originally told me about the guy that I first told you about, coming around the shelter and talking to him twice, he would tell me that he wasn't the only one who lived there in a camper. There was two or three other people who did for a while. And they would all talk about how they would hear cars coming down the driveway or pulling right up next to their camper. They'd hear car doors shut real loud, like it happened right next door to them. And they would look, and nobody would be there. And that happened a lot. Now, I do know from living there for 3 years that we would hear cars go down the road and it would sound like they were coming to our property. But like I said, it's a quarter mile long driveway and it's gravel. So, there is a distinct difference between somebody coming down the driveway and somebody going down the road. And all you have to do is listen for a second and, oh, no, that car just went by. I hear it driving off. Versus, oh, it got louder until it was right next to the house, the trailer. Yeah, there's a distinct difference. I've heard the neighbors shut their car doors, and I've heard people shut their car doors when they come to visit. Distinct difference. So, happens a lot. It happened to us while we were living there. Yeah, crazy place. I have plenty more ghost stories, but I think I've bored you enough tonight on Halloween. I hope you got a kick out of these. Maybe gave you a little chill. Hey, enjoy the rest of your October. It's almost over. And enjoy Halloween. Please be safe if you go out trick-or-treating. Make sure your costume is super scary. And that's pretty much it. Happy Halloween.